to episode 4 of the Harness Podcast. I'm your host, Ian. Episode 4, at all costs, sees us jumping right back into the action. It was picked up from the end of episode 3 from last week. And we're right back into at least blowing up one thing per episode again. Always good to see explosions on the screen. Anyway, at the beginning of At All Costs, we see Tom using this attack by the Eshveni to be a great opportunity to show their new guest, the lieutenant who they've captured, who apparently is under the direction of the real president of the US, and I say real is in big giant air quotes, Benjamin Hathaway, to show them the capabilities of the Vaughn and why an alliance with them is key to victory for the entire human race and saving it all. And this is actually kind of cool, because then it's like, oh, now I have seen the light. She says that real come to Jesus moment for this. And it's kind of ironic that I say that, because it turns out the guy who's the President of the United States, Benjamin Hathaway, is a guy who played Father in Seventh Heaven. Can't remember the guy's name, but I recognized the face straight away. Yeah, I did actually watch that show. Strange. And this episode is kind of nice, because it, in one respect, it did kind of pick up from last week, which was very sort of alien-free. And this week we were kind of, I think, like a lot of people, I was a little bit let down coming into this week, because I kind of knew one of the storylines, because TNT completely blew one of the revelations for us this week. The whole thing that Alexis is an alien. Ooh, it's like, thanks TNT, you kind of spoiled something which I think may have sort of helped me this week in terms of picking me up, considering we've kind of had a bit of a slow pedestrian start. But I'll talk about that later in the episode. A couple of things sort of in this story. So you've got like Tom, Cochise and Pope, and they fly to go and meet the real president, Benjamin Hathaway, at a secret location. And they bring Cochise with them, which I've just mentioned, so that he can try and explain how the in New Charleston they're actually taking the fight to the Eshveni, and how they have plans to sort of end the war and to get the Eshveni to basically pack up their bags and sod off away from the earth. The episode is kind of pedestrian. There's a couple of sort of nice things in this. One of the stories that's in this that I actually did like was the story for Ben and Danny, where they're getting the opportunity to have their spikes and what's left of their harness implants removed from them. And they're sort of faced with this thing of, if they remove their spikes and what's left of their harness implants, that they will no longer have their special strengths. Like, for example, Ben will go back to needing his inhaler and have been kind of asthmatic, and that Danny will go back to needing her glasses, and they'll no longer be able to translate for the skitters, or they'll cease to be special and in what they see as being useful. And it's kind of a decision you see them wrestling with. And from the outset, you kind of see that Ben doesn't really waver too far away from understanding his role in things, and you know, sometimes it's important to play these roles, even though being free of certain things might be an advantage. And Danny kind of almost wavers towards having her spikes removed and what's left of her harness also removed from her, but in the end they both sort of turn it down, and they're prepared to sort of bear the implications of living with their razorbacks and being freaks, to sort of be part of the greater good, to try and help win the war. And the sort of the other sort of thing which I kind of liked, but I really sort of cringed my backside off over, was HAL 2.0, as I'm going to call him, or Smeag HAL. Yeah, actually, so after the performance after the performance by Drew Roy for in this episode, where you see him having this sort of Smeagol-esque sort of diatribe in the mirror with his implanted self, watching it, it's kind of cringeworthy, as I said, but you know, you can see that sort of Drew Roy, who's playing Hal, was trying to have fun with it, and I can't believe they actually went down the road with this of sort of evil Hal, good Hal and evil Hal, or HAL 2.0, or Smeag HAL, as I am now going to call him. And every time he comes up, I'm going to use the phrase Smeag HAL, which is kind of really funny, and because I know where they were getting the idea from this from and what they were trying to do with it. But I don't think it came off as successful as what they were looking for. The other storyline which is actually involved here in this today is the picking up of the Alexis is an alien thing, which TNT nicely spoiled for us last week, and Anne sort of takes some blood samples from Alexis and mixes them in with some other Harness kid samples to bring down to Dr. Kadar. You know, the agoraphobic, sort of weird, grumpy, evil genius doctor that lives beneath the city. Who's a bit crazy and a bit weird, but I think they know what they're shooting for with that. There's for the evil genius recluse, or the genius recluse. And sort of she brings the blood samples down and the items he needs to sort of make the scanner to detect whether the kids are still normal or not. And the guy confirms that one of the samples that Anna's brought down is in fact sort of alien DNA intertwined with the child's DNA. And he sort of, by her look and sort of a reaction, he understands that it's actually Alexis's DNA. And he tells her that, hey, you know, they need to tell Tom. And if Tom's not available, because Tom's off meeting with Seventh Heaven Dad, with Coachies in tow, that they need to tell someone. And then this is the part which is a little bit weird, and I didn't guess. And when they sort of take characters in TV shows and they make them do something which is totally outside of their norm and does something which is totally contrary, even in like a desperation moment, it kind of bugs me and it kind of lifts you out of the story. I think it does that for a lot of people when you get a character who you understand sort of where the character would go in a moment of desperation, or you have a perception of where they'll go, and then they just take it the other way, where she deliberately picks up like a giant wrench and then just like decides to take a swing at the dude's head, a bit like he's like a baseball that's there presented to her. And you know, then afterwards when she sort of then takes a sample back and then goes back up to her quarters to where Lourdes is, looking after Alexis, and then she drugs Lourdes into unconsciousness, and then tries to run away with Alexis, only to be caught by Smeagol, a Harness kid, and one of the Eshveni Skitter minions. Just really, really weird, this entire thing. And I'm not sure what they were trying to go for with this, but I think it's something that I hope next week we're actually going to see resolved. And I'm hoping that, like, the season, like, we're into, like, episode 4. Like, I'm hoping with episode 5, we're officially going to be about halfway through the season. So, I'm hoping they start picking the pace of this up. Because you kind of get the impression so far with season 3. Like, even though, episode 1 and 2, which were the season premiere together, like, opened up with this huge wad of story for you to sort of start feasting on and to get to grips with. There's, like, 7 months have passed and there's all this sort of catch-up to play into. That the storylines that are progressing through season C, like, they're still not firing on all cylinders. It's kind of still a bit rough and a little bit sluggish. And to me, it kind of reminds me like one of those whole roller coasters that you get on that has this sort of long, tedious build up to that first drop, or just that single big, huge, giant drop. For those who are familiar with Alton Towers, which is a theme park in the UK, it's a bit like Oblivion. Where you take that up and it sort of leaves you teetering on the edge, and then all you hear is "Don't look down," and then you're kind of tumbling into the ground, and it just freaks the hell and frightens the bejesus out of you. It's kind of like that, where you get this long sort of build up for like 30 seconds, and then there's just 10 seconds of pure chaos and mayhem that terrify you and satisfy you at the same time completely. And I at least hope, like, this is what they're shooting for with this. And you know, one thing again, like I will say, is at least TNT this week wised up and didn't spoil anything at the end of the episode, especially in relation to the whole Hal and storylines for next week. So kudos to them for not repeating the same mistake 2 weeks in a row. It's true, you can learn from your mistakes. But we did sort of see at the end of this episode where the Eshveni have discovered where Tom and Seventh Heaven Dad, President, have actually met, and they're about to come after them and send beamers are after the planes as they're escaping. And in Tom and Pope's plane, there's a beamer on their on their tail, and it looks like the plane is going to crash after it gets its engine shot during an evasive maneuver, and you can see them going down, and we know they're going to survive because TNT have already showed us a couple of clips of Pope and Tom duking it out and telling each other that they don't particularly like each other and throwing digs and trying to trek through a jungle while being chased by Ishvini skitters. So at least we know that much is going to happen, that they are going to survive the crash, and we don't know what the same is about the pilot, General, what's his name? Totally unimportant character, obviously, because his title and his name hasn't been impressed upon me enough yet. But we know, we can kind of see where this is going, and I'm hoping that now we're into the halfway episode of this, that they're just going to start picking things up, and it's going to start getting a bit crazy, a bit more manic, and we're going to have these storylines tightened up and get us in there and get us to the meat of the season finale, that sort of big triumphant ending that you kind of expect, and that should happen, like the way the end of season 2 happened, where, all of a sudden they're like, yay, we're going to win. And then all of a sudden all these spaceships just like drop out of the sky on top of them. And you're looking at going, okay, is this more aliens to go kick their ass or aliens to be friends? And so far you've learned that aliens aren't friends. They're going to kick ass. And then turned it nicely, it was the Volman. They're there to help us kick ass. I say us, not even in the episode or in the series. I'm humans. Mixed feelings about... at all costs, but hopefully we'll see sort of an improvement and a pickup when it comes into next week. If you have any comments or you have any questions about anything I've said for this episode of Harnessed Podcast, you can send it into harnessed@outlook.com. If you want to tweet me in the show, you can tweet @HarnessPodcast. If you're checking out the show on iTunes, please feel free to leave a rating and review. They always help, and I like reading them because kind of a little bit of an egomaniac like that. And if you have checked the show out on Podomatic, please, leave a star. Kind of like getting those too. So until next time, stay harness free.